Morning. We'll be reading from John 13, 1 through 10. John 13, 1 through 10. We'll be reading from the New King James. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in this world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you."
We are eternally grateful for the time that we have together on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. All year we've been talking about evangelism, and especially when our dear brother Rob came and blessed us with his presentations to give us a spiritual boost, if I can say it that way. And we have been very encouraged since then, more so implementing things that has helped us to kind of look at evangelism in a more strategic manner. And so if you're visiting with us, you'll see the QR code behind me. You can obtain the notes that we're going to be looking at on this morning. I have to be totally transparent with you. This is probably one of my favorite texts for many reasons, because of the things that are in the text, the visual that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ demonstrates, and how he shows us how to truly serve. And the more that I was thinking about this since Monday, the more excited I've become. And even to the point, even this morning, I changed some things up, added some points, and said, all right, that's enough adding. You're going to keep these people to 1 o'clock. And so I hope not to do that, but I do hope, pray, and trust that you are encouraged to consider evangelism and what it requires. Because it does require many different things. It's like baking a cake or baking something that is good to eat. It requires different ingredients. And one of the ingredients that we really need to always keep in mind is the ingredient of service, or the towel. When we think about one of the best forms of reaching those who may not know Jesus Christ for the pardoning of their sins, those who may not know the Lord, service, humble service really comes to mind. As a matter of fact, Jesus wanted his disciples to not only learn service, but imitate that service, to imitate him, because he is the greatest servant of all. And so Jesus uses a towel, if you will, in order to make a point, in order to make a point. And so I want us to consider how our Creator, as he was sent by the Father to come and serve his creation, if you will, to demonstrate to them what true servanthood looks like. And if we're considering evangelism, I can't help but to think about the towel. The towel that Jesus wrapped around himself, if you will, in order to serve his disciples, to wash their feet, to wipe their feet. And when I thought about that, I couldn't help but to think about John 13. John chapter 13, Brother Mark read that very masterfully. I'm going to complete the reading from verse number 11 through verse number 17. Verse 11 through verse 17. Here the Bible says, "For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am.
If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do so, or do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. A real brief explanation, because I really don't want to spend too much time on this particular point, but I want to make the point. When we think about some of the Jewish manners and customs, there are some beautiful customs of the Orientals, those of the East, and how they would actually use hospitality to ensure that those in whom they were hosting really felt at home, if you will. For example, when you think of Luke chapter 7 and verse number 44, when entering in someone's home, they would offer them water to wash their feet. But also, when we consider some of their table practices, unless you was royalty, you would actually couch yourself on the floor, and you would have a rug that you would actually be sitting upon. And when you think about sitting upon that rug, I couldn't help but to think about Jesus Christ and when he was sitting with his disciples on that great supper day, and how John would lean upon his bosom, if you will. But it would be during those particular times that they would sit and they would eat. And they didn't have utensils like what we have in the West. As a matter of fact, they would use their bread as sop, as dip, as utensils. And they didn't have their individual plates, if you will. They would have the actual dish, the bowl, whatever it was there, and they would all be dipping in there. Hence the reason Jesus would say, the one that dips his hand with me in the sop is the one that's going to betray me. So when you consider some of the historical background of the Orientals, the Jews, they would actually have some great, great customs, if you will. They would sit close to one another, and they would eat with one another. And so the more I thought about this, the more I was thinking about some of the customs in this particular event right here. In John chapter 13, here, when you look at verse number 1, now before the feast of the Passover, and considering the Passover of Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 through verse number 15, and how they would have to go to Jerusalem for the three feasts, and hence the reason we have Acts chapter 2. When Jesus knew that his hour had come, he was about to depart and go back to the Father from whence he come from. Notice, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, all authority was going to be given to Jesus. You're taking notes. Why don't you put in your notes Daniel chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, where Jesus would be receiving a kingdom, glory, and power. But also here we see that Jesus was going to be betrayed. We know that because Judas was going to be the one that was going to be betraying him. When we consider verse number 4, he rose up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now you think about this. Here is the creator of the world, Colossians 1, 15 and 16, and he takes off his jacket, his outer garment, if you will. Can I do this, Ryan, and still be scriptural? And he just lays it to the side. But then what does he do? He takes something, and I asked the elders, could I do this? Not really, but I did. And he put an apron on. Y'all see this apron? I'm going to put it around me, Brother Royce, and don't you make fun of me now from this point forward. But look what he did. He girds himself with a towel. But then he takes some water in a basin, and he puts water in this basin. And what does he do? Now, I ain't gonna ask no brother to come up here with his feet. This is a true story. My wife won't even touch my feet. And he washes the disciples' feet. All 12 of them. Even Judas. But then he takes this towel and he wipes their feet dry. And then he says, what I did to you, you do to one another. I want you to let that sink in for a bit. Because Jesus was not just some mere man. He was the creator of the world, the Son of God, never did anything wrong. Yet, here is God in the flesh as he kneels down to wash and wipe his creation's feet. And he says, I did this as an example. And if I, your Lord and your master, your ruler and your teacher, do this for you, you ought to do it to one another. Do this to one another. If we was to apply that today, if the Lord washed our feet, metaphorically, spiritually speaking, we as members of the Lord's church ought to be washing one another's feet, yea, even those who know not Christ, in order to drive home the point that we're here to serve you. Amen? Let's look at the text. I'm going to leave my bowl up here for y'all to look at. Jesus and the towel, point number one. When we consider Jesus and the towel in the first four verses, as we spoke earlier, God sent him to serve mankind. But why? In verses 7 through 10, take notice of the text. Jesus answered and said, what I have done to you, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Is he talking about the cross? Is he talking about the resurrection? Could be both. But I do know this. He says, you don't understand it right now. So that demonstrates to me as a teacher, as a student of the Word of God, that he washed their feet to actually get to their heart. Because you don't understand it quite yet. And there are some things, those of us who are members of the Lord's church, and I know this for a fact, that when you begin doing nice things and being servants to people, people want to believe that you're up to something. You gotta want something. Why? Because normally people are not like that. They're so selfish, so self-centered. It's all about them. And so when you find someone like Jesus that is willing to serve and wash feet, if you will, man, he must want something. She must want something. No, no, and no. In other words, we're doing this because God has already served us. We're turning around and serving one another. And so when we serve those who are even on the outside of Christ, we're serving them, perhaps they will yield to the service and ask, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be like the one who's serving me? Make no mistake about it, brethren. God serves mankind by sending Jesus. Jesus serves mankind by dying on the cross for him. And so it makes more sense to me. And the older I get in Christ, and the more that I read this narrative, and I think about the servicing mentality of Jesus Christ, was it about their feet? Brethren, it wasn't about their feet. It was about their understanding. And then that reminded me of Proverbs 4 and verse number 7, where the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get understanding. Jesus said, you don't understand this now, but you will later. Peter's response to that in verse number 8, Brother Mark, is this. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Peter, are you sure you don't want Jesus washing you, cleansing you, making you whole and right? And then it caused me to think about a very powerful text. Turn to John 15:3. In John 15:3, Jesus would say something to his disciples contextually. Jesus is talking to his disciples in John 13, 14, 15, and 16, and 17. So in John 15, in verse number 3, Jesus says something very powerful. He says, "You are already clean." Why? Because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Why are they clean? They wasn't clean because Jesus took water and put it in a basin and washed their feet. They were cleansed because of the word that he spoke to them. Brother Leon, Ephesians 5 and verse number 26. You think of the power of the word of God, and the Bible demonstrates to us that the word of God is really the cleansing agent. And so here we understand that God's word was going to be cleansing them. But notice what he says in verse number 10. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. See, Jesus wasn't trying to give them a bath. Jesus was trying to teach them a lesson. And so Peter was missing the whole point, but he would later get the point, if you will. And so Jesus says, not all of you are clean. Verse number 11, he gives us the one that wasn't clean. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he says, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I've done? That's a great question when we're talking to even those who are on the outside of Christ. Do you know what you just learned? Do you understand what you have just read? It should remind us of the book of Acts, chapter 8, when Philip was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, do you understand what you're reading? The eunuch replied, how can I except someone guide me? That tells me that at times there are things that we just don't understand. However, Jesus asked his disciples, do you know what I just done for you? I served you. Brethren, when we consider the teachings of Christ, we can't help but to think about how he served his disciples, how he washed their feet with water, how he wiped their feet clean, dry. I do want to make this point that I think is pretty valid and is implied in the text. Brother Royce, not only did he use water to wash their feet, but he used that towel that was girded upon him to dry them clean, which demonstrates that if you're going to start a job, complete the job. Don't just leave people's feet wet. Complete the job. Stay with them, if you will. As the people of God, as the members of the Lord's church here at the 9th and Main Congregation, let's make sure that we're in the business of completing the job. That when we talk to people about the gospel and bring them to a point of conversion as they are immersed in water, baptized for the remission of their sins, Acts 2 and verse number 38, as Brother Leon brought to our attention one day, we need to make sure in retention that we're paying attention to those who have been baptized into Christ and not leave them to themselves. It's not enough just for them to obey the gospel, but now they need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. I want you to ponder that for a bit. Because when people leave the world and they come into the body of Christ, the Lord's church, the church of Christ, they're leaving so many things. They're leaving the dirt, the filth of the age. For this reason, brethren, turn to Titus 3. And look at verse number 3, as the Apostle Paul would say something very encouraging. And one thing I love about Paul, he always included himself in the equation. He never said, y'all were the ones that were in sin. He would always put himself in the equation. In Titus 3, starting at verse number 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating and even hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration, that's baptism, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, that's the word of God. Here we understand that it takes water and spirit, John 3:3-5, in order for one to be cleansed today. Jesus would use water in order to wash his disciples' feet, but he would use his towel to clean them off, to dry them up. He completed the job. And so when I consider Jesus and his teachings, in verse number 13 and 14, Jesus taught and he charged his disciples, we must do the same as the disciples of Christ even today. But look at verse number 15 and 16. He says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, his teacher, the one that teaches him, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him." Consider the notes that I gave. Here, Jesus demonstrated true service to his creation through humility. You want to know man's biggest issue? Pride. It's hard for him to humble himself. Lest we fall in the same snare as the devil, we must exercise and practice humility. I was talking to some brethren on Thursday night in San Antonio, and I was making a point in my lesson, and I said, one thing I love about being a teacher, a preacher, is that I don't have to know it all. I got good brothers around me that the things that I don't know, they may know, and we all work together. Amen? We all work together. And if I'm wrong on a point, a brother ought to love me enough to say, "Hey, Mike, you ought to look at this and consider this." That's a win-win situation. God is the only one that knows all things. We ought to be thankful that we have brethren around us that love us enough to say something, to serve one another, to exercise humility. And so Jesus is a great example and a reminder to his disciples that they need to be serving one another and they need to imitate him just as he imitated his father. In Mark chapter 10, and verse 45, Jesus said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." But turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 21. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 21, as we come to a conclusion on point number one, again, I believe that this is a memory verse. We ought to put this verse to memory. Why is that, Brother Mike? Let's read. Let's find out. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps." The word "example" there literally means to write under. Most insurance companies have underwriters. They are not the company itself. They are the agents of the company. God wants us to be agents of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that is the example, and we write under him. So we look at his life and we do our best to imitate exactly how he does things. We're the underwriters. And the more that I thought about the water, the basin, when I thought about the towel, we ought to be in the business of imitating Christ in our service to one another. No wonder, go back to John 13 and look at verse 34 and 35. In John 13, 34 and 35, notice what the Bible here says. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Watch this. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." How should we be imitating Christ in evangelism? We do it through the towel. Question: are we too good to put the towel on? No, we're not. If our Lord and Master can put a towel on, if he can gird himself with an apron, literally in the Greek, brethren, we can gird ourselves as we serve mankind. And I'm talking about all of mankind. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 9, 12 and 13. Not just for those who are in Christ, but even those who are outside. Point two. I had to put this in this morning because the more I thought about this, the more I was thinking, what about those in the scriptures that had the towel mentality? That had that servant mentality? We don't want to talk about pharaohs, and we don't want to talk about Jeroboams. We don't want to talk about Rehoboam. We don't want to talk about those type of men. We don't want to talk about Jezebels. We don't want to talk about Herodias' daughter. We don't want to talk about people like them. We don't want to talk about Ananias and Sapphira. We want to talk about couples like them. We want to talk about people who actually had a servant mentality. And it is this mentality that actually draws people to ask the question, why do you think the way you think? Why do you live the way you live? Notice, men like Epaphroditus. You have the notes. Go back and read about these individuals. I wanted to choose Epaphroditus because in Philippians 2, verses 25 through verse number 30, Paul would say in verse number 29 and 30 that this man worked so hard for the Lord that he almost died doing it. Brother Ryan, that's working hard for the Lord. That's putting the towel on right there. Sometimes we can get a headache and say, nah, I can't do that. No, this man here almost died working for the Lord. In Romans 16, 1 and 2, a woman by the name of Phoebe, not only did she serve the Apostle Paul, but the Bible says that she served many. So here you got Epaphroditus, a man in the Lord, Phoebe, a sister in the Lord, but then Aquila and Priscilla. Notice Romans 16, look at verse 3 and 4. In Romans 16, 3 and 4, notice what it said about Priscilla, Aquila and Priscilla. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Wow. Brother Daniel, is that beautiful or what? These men, these women, these couples risked their lives. They truly took the towel seriously. Serving, helping, desiring to do the will of God from the heart. 1 Thessalonians 1, look at verse 8. I wanted to broaden this out as much as I possibly could. Sometimes we focus on those great men in the Bible, not too often on the great women in the Bible, and sometimes some of the great couples in the Bible. But notice how specific and how God doesn't leave anything out in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. Here he's talking about the congregation, the church at Thessalonica. And he says this, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, surrounding areas, but also in every place. What, Paul? Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not have to say anything. Hold on. What do we see here? When we think about someone actually doing the will of God, serving God from the heart, we saw individuals, we saw couples, but it's possible that even a congregation can work together and they can say, hey, we're all going to put our feet to the ground and we're all going to work hard to make sure that Christ's name is esteemed in our neck of the woods. But not only here, but everywhere. It's sounding forth what the Thessalonians are doing. This was also said about the Romans in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 13, I believe it is. Verse number 5, I believe it is. And so I wanted to make those points because we have to ask ourselves, where do we fit in? Are we a congregation that is known throughout the world, throughout the United States? Yea, even San Angelo, of those who really love sinners, who really love one another. I believe we are. I really believe we are. Last point, and I'm going to leave most of this for you to go and study. But I want to make just a few points from each point. Biblical ways to gird ourselves with a towel. What are some biblical ways to gird ourselves? Four things I want us to consider. I want us to talk about the towel of separation, the towel of suffering, the towel of sincerity, and finally the towel of service. See how we're able to use this in a figure, in a metaphor? What type of towel are we wearing? The towel of separation, winning souls demands being different. Why have more of the same? As a matter of fact, when we consider what will it take for us to be different, if you notice the points there, embracing the joy of holiness, separating ourselves from sin, understanding that Jesus Christ, when he came to seek and save the lost, but he himself had to be right with God in order to do that. We ourselves, as we are striving to be holy before God at all times, that even when we sin against God, we do all that we can to make it right with God. Those in the world ought to be able to see it. Those of us ought to see that as well. Man, when that brother, when that sister does something wrong, when they say something that's not right, man, they're quick to ask for prayer. Oh, they really want people to say, hey, you know what? At least they got it right. Tell people all the time, publicly and privately, the only thing wrong with being wrong is staying wrong. Amen? We want to get right. We want to stay right. And when we're not right, we want to get back right. We want to remind one another to think righteously, to pursue peace, to encourage hope for one another. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. We should be there. I haven't even turned from 1 Thessalonians 2. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2 and look at verse number 19. You look at those other points yourself. Go home and study the notes. Look at the notes. Add to the notes. But in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 19. Matter of fact, let's start at verse number 17. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time, in present, not in heart, endeavoring more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. But what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Notice what Paul's hope was. Notice what his joy was. Notice what his crown of rejoicing was. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Brethren, you want to know what our joy is as the leadership of this congregation? It's to see every last one of us in heaven. Amen. That everybody here is well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want to see. All of the things that we accomplish down here are great. Don't misunderstand us. But the ultimate greatness is to hear well done. That's the ultimate greatness. So the towel of separation from sin, the towel of suffering, winning souls will draw indifference. Now I want to focus on Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 36. Turn your Bibles there. Because the Bible does tell us that we're going to suffer persecution, that we're going to go through some hardship at times. But I would say that the hardest hardship is the hardship or suffering from family. Just dealing with your family. When your family doesn't embrace your new life in Christ. And when we go and we teach people the gospel, put them in a position to have a better way of thinking. Put them in a position to live better lives. John 10 and verse 10. Put them in a position where they humble themselves and not arrogant like some in the world. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 36, notice what Jesus says. Matter of fact, we'll start at verse 34. Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Brethren, did you hear that? Friends, family, when we consider suffering, at times when we're talking to people about the gospel and they begin to draw closer and closer to Christ, it may cost them. It may cost us. But I do know this, when we think about putting on the sword or the towel of suffering, we must be willing to go through the suffering. Letter C, notice the towel of sincerity. Winning souls requires being genuine. Turn to Philippians 1. Turn to Philippians 1. I made reference to this last week, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll make reference to it right here. In verse number 9, notice what he says. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, meaning learning more and being able to make the difference, tell the difference between right and wrong. That's discernment. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may, watch this, be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. The word sincere there is the idea of shining the light upon. The towel of sincerity. If you ever want to really get in good with people who are on the outside, be sincere. Be genuine. Allow people to see through you. That's an important point right there. As a matter of fact, that point is so important, that's the only point I'm going to make under that point. Because one thing about the Word of God, it is sincere. You can see right through it. And the Word of God is used to see right through anything. Brethren, we want to be a sincere people. Last point, the towel of service. Winning souls through simply humbling ourselves in service. Being an American is one of the greatest blessings, at least in my opinion. I love being an American. And I love how we can go to different restaurants and the servant will come and they'll, what do you want to drink? Water with lemon, no ice. All right. Well, they bring water, they bring lemon, but it's full of ice. What's wrong with you? That should not be our response. Amen. Our response should be, I asked for no ice. Oh, I'm sorry. No problem. You're dealing with 4 or 5 other couples or tables. Don't worry about it. Right? That should be the attitude. But sometimes that's not the attitude. Here, when we think about service, we are attempting to win souls by simply humbling ourselves in service to mankind. And sometimes those in whom we're serving may lash out at us. That's fine. They may have had a bad day. In evangelism, remember, we're going out seeking and saving. In evangelism, we're going out serving, doing good. Acts 10, verse number 38. One preacher told me one time, you know, I guess we are ministers. We are servants. Brother Royce, we shouldn't get mad when they treat us like one. That's true. We're Christians. We're servants of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't get angry if they treat us like one. So we ought to rise up and serve as Jesus rose up from supper, took off his outer cloak, put on his towel, and he washed his disciples' feet after putting water in the basin. Brethren, let us rise up from the mentality of wanting to be served and to serve others. And remember that it is to the glory of God that we do all that we do, not to our glory. We ought to get into the habit of saying, when someone says thank you for whatever, our response is, Brother Leon, what is it? To God be the glory. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll offer the invitation, and the lesson will be yours. Holy God and Father, we're thankful for the day. We're thankful for the time you blessed us to have. We're thankful for the example of Jesus Christ and how he served his disciples. Heavenly Father, help us to be like that. Help us to be humble servants. Help us to be willing to serve one another and those in our community because, Father, you have served us through your Son. Your Son has served us by giving his life. And we pray, dear Father, that we will follow the example of the apostles' teaching, the example of Jesus Christ. And we pray, dear Father, as we go out and we talk and live the life, that we can gather and gain all of the encouragement needed to encourage those who need comfort, who needs the gospel, who needs to be taught about the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, who are striving to be better, striving to be right. Help us, Father, to be positioned, strategically positioned, in order to help save those who are lost. So thankful for the brethren here, thankful for those who are working out their salvation, and those who are struggling in sin, those who are dealing with illnesses, pray to Father that you be with them and that the next appointed time they'll find themselves being found present, worshiping you through your Son, Jesus Christ, for your glory and your honor. Help us to always encourage each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to consider the gospel message. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, which is the Lord's church, Acts chapter 8, verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, Romans 16, verse 16. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord and be buried in water, immersed, baptized for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He will add you to his Son's church. Live faithful, Revelation 2 and verse 10, and you'll hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Maybe a child of God, and you need special prayer for whatever reason, it does not matter. We're here for you as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.